Good evening, everyone. I now call this Planning and Development Committee meeting to order. Please note that assistive listening devices are available in the council chambers from the clerk's department. Please ensure all cell phones are turned off or on silent. Are there any members of council who have to declare a pecuniary interest? Councillor Downey.
Thank you. Through you, Chair DeBoer, I am declaring a conflict on item public meeting RZ-02. The applicant is my father-in-law.
Okay, thank you. I will now read out the titles from the items on the agenda. With members of the Planning and Development Committee may ask that an item be held so that it can be further discussed. Any items that are not held, the motion will be deemed approved, and no further discussion of the item will take place at this meeting. The recommendation will go forward to Council for consideration at the next meeting. And staff report 2019-69, renaming of a portion of Cross Country Boulevard as Roy Clarkson Way. And we do have a delegate, and it's held by Mayor Thompson. Staff report 2019-70, landscape security review, industrial commercial site plan applications. Mayor Thompson. Press the wrong button. She's new at this?
Yeah.
Approved on consent. Staff report 2019-66, proposed zoning bylaw amendment, Brookfield Residential Ontario, Bolton Limited, 50 Ann Street. So we will hold it by Councillor Innes. Heritage Caledon Committee report dated May 13, 2019. Approved on consent. Councillor Downey. And notice of motion regarding review of zoning bylaw special vehicles and tourism vehicles. Approved on consent. Okay. I will now move into the public meeting portion. And Councillor Downey, this is yours. There's one public meeting on tonight's agenda. RZ-19-02, application for proposed zoning bylaw amendment, RZ-19-02-13471, Heart Lake Road, Part Lot 25, Concession 3, Chincoosey Ward 2. The purpose of the public meeting is to gather input from the public concerning the application and any members of the public who have written concerns or appeals dealing with the application being heard should be directed to the town clerk's office. Any interested people wishing further notification regarding the application are advised to clearly print their name and address on the appropriate notification list located on table outside the entrance. Following the presentation, members of the public will be invited to approach the podium, clearly stating their name for the public record and providing their comments. Following the public comments, members of council will be invited to ask questions of the presenter regarding information contained within the presentation. Please note that council members are here to listen to the comments from the public and are not here to provide an opinion or debate the matter tonight. We will now move to public meeting for RZ-19-02, application for proposed zoning bylaw amendment, RZ-19-02-13471, Heart Lake Road, Part Lot 25, Concession 3, Chincoosey, Ward 2. I will now ask Rob Hughes, Manager of Development, West Community Services, to confirm that notification was conducted in accordance with the Planning Act for this meeting.
Thank you, Chair DeBoer. I can confirm that in accordance with the Planning Act, notice of this public meeting was mailed to all landowners within 120 meters of the subject site and is well posted in both the Caledon Enterprise and Caledon Citizen on April 25th, 2019. In addition, a sign was installed on the front property, which invited public comment.
Thank you, Rob. I will now call upon John Ahrens and Ashley Couric of IBI to begin their presentation.
Good evening, Mr. Chair, Mr. Mayor, members of Council, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. My name is John Ahrens. I'm with the IBI group. Ms. Couric is with me in the audience. With your permission, Mr. Chair, I do have a very brief PowerPoint presentation I'd like to share. Our contact information is on the slide if anyone has questions afterwards. We're dealing with approximately a 50-acre farm parcel which has agricultural fields and an existing single detached dwelling. The purpose of the application is simply to remove the existing dwelling from this property and then rezone the vacant farmland so it can never accommodate another dwelling. In addition, we are zoning the agricultural parcel with an environmental protection zone because there is a small tributary with a water course and a floodplain situated on it. This is the Downey Farm operation. It consists of approximately 250 acres, and under the provincial policies and the provincial greenbelt plan, when there is a large farm operation and there is a parcel which has an unnecessary dwelling, the farm operators are allowed to sever and remove that existing dwelling as a residence surplus to their farm operation. And that's essentially what is occurring with this matter here. This is a photograph of the existing dwelling that's situated on the property, setback, you know, well from the road, has ample parking, ample side yards. It has a slightly irregular lot dimension, which I'll explain in a moment. The application is as a result of a severance which was approved but subsequently appealed. The appeal resulted from the town's position and the Toronto Region Conservation Authority's position on the environmental protection zoning that was required. The appeal was settled, and an Ontario Municipal Board hearing confirmed the terms of a settlement with the municipality. So today we had the open house in the gallery outside the chambers, and tonight, of course, we have our statutory planning committee meeting, and then following this, council will be in a position to deal with the zoning bylaw. Now, generally speaking, residents and severances are not permitted in the agricultural area. The only exception is what's known as that surplus farm residence. And the reason it is permitted is because it supports agriculture. When you have an existing farm operation that either wants to expand with acquiring new lands or has an existing parcel which is encumbered with a home that the farm operator does not require, the whole intent is that the farm operator requires the land, not the dwelling, so it is possible to remove that existing residence as a residence surplus to the farm. It's done across all the area municipalities that my practice involves. Some municipalities even pre-zone them so that we don't have to come back with a zoning bylaw amendment application. There are some tests that a surplus farm severance has to comply with. The amount of agricultural land that we can remove is minimal. In other words, we don't want to create a 5-acre estate residential lot. We want the most of that land to be returned to farming. It has to comply with a minimum distance separation formula, and it has to have been an existing residence for a number of years. And it has to be part of a legitimate farm operation, as is the Downey farm operation. And then the qualifier is, if we've removed a house from an agricultural parcel, that vacant agricultural parcel has to be rezoned so as to never be able to accommodate a new dwelling. Just briefly, from a planning status, this property enjoys a agricultural designation and agricultural zoning, and the surplus farm residence is in accordance with your official plan. This is the detailed zoning sketch, and I mentioned the irregular site boundaries of the lot being created, and it's principally to accommodate the floodplain of that small tributary. The Toronto Region Conservation Authority does not allow lot creation upon a floodplain, and that's why we had to just survey that line and reestablish it so that this land was totally outside of the floodplain. So we are here today to seek zoning permissions to implement a severance of a surplus farm residence. We are asking for a site-specific modification to your bylaw, and at the same time, we will be applying the environmental protection zone on this property as well. So the conclusion that we have is that this dwelling is surplus to this farm operation. It's not required. The severance supports agriculture because the provincial policies, the regional plan, and your official plan accommodate the removal of an unnecessary house from a farm operation. As I said, it complies with the upper tier planning documents, and this rezoning will implement the policies by prohibiting a new dwelling on that vacant parcel. Those are my submissions, and I'd be pleased to answer any questions.
Thank you, John. If you want to just take a seat here, we'll see if there's any questions or comments from members of the public here this evening. Is there anyone here that wishes to speak to this application this evening? Oh, okay. Are there any members of the committee who wish to ask questions? No? Okay. So if there's no further, I will close the public meeting portion. Thank you very much, John. Okay, next on the agenda is a delegation. Please note that the delegation of P. Shoot and Matthew Corey have been withdrawn. If somebody could get Joanna. Yeah, you better stay here. Over the weekend, a number of delegation requests were received, and due to the holiday Monday, there was no addendum to include the delegations in order to hear the delegations, and I require a motion to waive Section 8.9 of the procedural bylaw to permit an emergency delegation. Councillor Sinclair. Joanne Kreese, concerning the moratorium regarding the current provincial initiatives and proposed amendments, and Jack Gibson concerning staff report 2019-69, renaming of the portion of Cross Country Boulevard as Roy Clarkson Way. And Councillor St. Clair and Councillor Innes. All in favour? Carried. I will now call upon Joanne to approach the podium to provide delegation concerning the current provincial initiatives. Please come forward.
Honourable Mayor and Councillors, thank you for the opportunity to delegate to you. My name is Joanne Kreese, and I am the Chair of Heritage Caledon. Our committee wishes to address the proposed changes to the Ontario Heritage Act, or OHA, which are included in the province's Bill 108, More Homes, More Choices, Act 2019, which we understand will be passed in early June. The bill has been called visionary by the housing industry, as it makes it easier and cheaper for developers to build homes, although that does not mean homes will be more affordable. It is rather challenging to appreciate the full impact of this legislation without knowing the regulations and the definitions that will follow only after the third reading. We have concerns how the proposed changes will impact our Caledon community, and specifically our heritage inventory. The changes include the loss of municipal council control, new timelines, and new rules on removal, all of which are very worrisome. The current OHA allows municipalities to designate properties that have cultural heritage value or interest through its bylaw, thereby restricting the alteration or demolition of these properties. Currently, anyone can object to council's intention to designate a structure. The objection triggers a referral to the Ontario Conservation Review Board, or CRB, for a public hearing. The CRB issues a report, but the hearing is not an appeal. Council is only obligated to consider the report, but can proceed with the designation whether or not the CRB agrees. There is no further right of appeal to council's decision. Bill 108 significantly changes these rules and shifts timelines. Whether council receives an objection to a notice of intention to designate or not, it must pass its bylaw within 120 days of giving its notice. Any concerned person is granted a right to appeal to the Local Planning Appeal Tribunal, or LPAT. The CRB will no longer play a role. If council misses its deadline, the notice of intention to designate is simply withdrawn. Heritage control over designations will be taken away from council and given to LPAT should there be an appeal. The new timelines that are suggested could place extra stress on heritage planners, heritage committees, and council itself, and leaves no time for negotiations or compromise. And we wonder where the Pinckney House process will be if all these new timelines were imposed upon it. Bill 108 also transfers power from Municipal Council to LPAT for applications to alter or demolish designated heritage structures, to amend a designation bylaw, to refuse an application to repeal a designation bylaw, and to refuse an application for permission to alter a designated bylaw. Bringing consistencies to appeals under the OHA may be a very worthy goal, but by introducing additional appeals to LPAT, which potentially has no heritage expertise, ensures that municipal councillors no longer have a final say on designations, again, if there is an appeal. We lose the spirit of the Ontario Heritage Act and legislation that helps communities to identify and protect what they value. Since 2008, Caledon has lost approximately 8% of their heritage inventory due to demolition. This figure does not include all demolitions, as there are cases where permits were not issued. The proposed new bill is intended to provide new rules and improve existing tools for municipalities to facilitate timely and transparent processes for reaching decisions under the Act by clarifying the meaning and intent behind the term demolition or removal. What exactly are these new rules? Will this new bill make it faster and easier for developers to demolish heritage properties? Will the losses only get worse if the proposed legislation is law? A forward-thinking or visionary government would consider the adaptive reuse of heritage structures by potentially converting them to multiple housing units where possible for the most vulnerable and keeping demolition debris out of landfills. A partnership with Habitat for Humanity is an option that could be considered, yet our government is proposing looser heritage rules. Heritage structures were built to last, however, continue to be threatened by cookie-cutter subdivisions built to an IKEA-type quality. Will this legislation undo years of planning and preservation and represent a backward step to the era of the 1960s when there were famous heritage fights to repurpose such magnificent buildings as Old City Hall in Toronto and closer to home, Orangeville Opera House? It was proposed to be pulled down and a supermarket was to be built on the site. The theater there alone now adds $3 million to economic spin-off to the town. Heritage in Caledon also adds value to both our tourism and our economy. An example are the Mills in Alton, one of which is a luxury hotel drawing clients that are worldwide. The other is an art center bringing in 25,000 visitors approximately every year. Heritage is what is left of our past, but it is also our future. Without it, we are endless miles of faceless suburbs. Our history and how we got here will be forgotten. We owe our future generation the ability to actually see and touch what our forefathers have built, rather than just read a web page on an electronic device. In closing, we request that Council give consideration to disagreeing with the proposed changes and preserving what we feel is one of Caledon's strongest assets, particularly while Peel is under review. Thank you.
Thank you, Joanne. Are there any members of the committee who have any questions? So I guess we will
bring the report.
Bring a motion. There isn't a report. I think it's just...
there's a report. It's 9.2.3 in the memorandums.
Oh, the memo, yes.
It's a memorandum that Sylvie Kirkwood wrote.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Councillor Sinclair?
Yes, I thought the way the town of Caledon did designations, there was a considerable amount of detailed expert research on the property. Mm-hmm. How long does that research usually take, do you know?
It depends on how busy the consultant who does the report is. So basically, once Heritage Caledon... So if a property comes forward, a request comes forward to designate a property, Heritage Caledon goes out to visit the site. We then in a meeting discuss it and determine if it has the attributes to be designated. A report is requested. And then it just depends on how long that report takes, depends on how busy she is.
Well, it looks like the Bill 108 Heritage Act section sets some fairly tight timelines. And I would have thought that if the town was going to carry out a designation, it'd need some considerable evidence to achieve that in order to withstand an appeal.
Well, once the report comes back, once the report is completed, it comes back to Heritage Caledon. Heritage Caledon then recommends to council to designate or not designate. In most cases, it's to designate. And it's from that time onwards that the notice of intention to designate is sent, is completed. Notice of intention for the bylaw is done by council. But if there is an appeal on it, that's when you, that, that's the issue.
Okay, then there's a list of properties with heritage interest. They're not designated.
Correct.
And it looks like Bill 108 requires the town to notify the owners if they're on the list.
Mm-hmm.
How do you defend a property if you can't designate it that quickly, can you? So how do you deal with that if someone doesn't want it on the list?
Well, when it's on the list, so the town of Caledon has a built heritage resource inventory, which is a list of all the properties that are dated 1946 and previous. And then there's a list which is called the Heritage Register, which is, so if your property is listed on the Heritage Register and you want to make a demolition request or alteration request, then there's, you have to apply for that, and there's a 60-day period, and Heritage Caledon gets to review that and gets to recommend to council.
All right, thank you.
Is that right? I got that right, so.
Thank you. Mayor Thompson, you get questions to delegate, right?
I'm just saying maybe it'd be helpful if we can bring the memorandum forward.
Yeah, okay, so move. Yeah. So we're bringing the memo forward, and we probably need a motion to react from it. So go ahead. You want to discuss the memo as well? Okay, go ahead. Thanks. You want to speak, McNeil? Joanna?
Yeah.
Thank
Councillor
you.
Downey.
Through you, Chair. I want to apologize because I believe I held 7.1, thinking that the recommendations were attached to that, not the memorandum. So if you want to resolve that. I just want to be clear that in supporting or that we can put forward a motion that basically supports the comments of our Heritage Committee for our staff to use as they prepare their own comments that will be moving through to the province.
Ms. Tollett?
Through you, Chair, to Board, to Councillor Downey. So that's the purpose of tonight's meeting. So the memo that's in the council package is basically talking about all the impacts of Bill 108, and there's several different acts that it speaks to. We'll take back the comments from council, from Heritage Caledon, from residents if they have any, and then we'll formulate our responses. Some of the responses are due sooner than later. Some responses are due like May 25th, all the way up to June 1st. So we'll take that back and send it into the province.
Thank you.
Okay. Do we, Mayor Thompson?
Yes.
Are we there that we can bring the correspondence forward? Or
yeah. This item of correspondence, because it relates to it. So we brought this one piece forward.
Yeah. So do we need to move it, or are we good to go?
Well, I think we should. We don't have to move it? Okay. Oh. No, we do not have to. So
awesome. So a couple things on the... on what Heritage have brought. Is this carved in stone, or do we have the ability to feed this back to the province? Is this is the deliberation done? From what I'm reading, it sounds like... Yeah.
Through the chair, comments are due by June 1st on the Heritage component, and then there's no timelines after that how long it'll take the province to deal with it.
Okay. So my second question on the memorandum is the LPAT. On the review for Bill 108. My question is the official plan, can it be challenged now, or is that still standing that it cannot be appealed?
Again, through the chair, we're still working with our legal services group trying to determine what's impacted or not. As I understand, it's still appealable.
So,
but we are confirming that.
Okay. That's one thing I think we definitely need to push back on, because this is something that's extremely important and an expense to the taxpayer. We ask that the residents and the taxpayers to all get involved, be part of the process. If we get something approved, then it can be challenged by anybody that disagrees. So that's why I'm just saying it's that is a concern that I think we definitely need to push extremely hard on.
Okay. I question whether we should have a motion endorsing staff comments before they go to the province. I would think that... No record. Okay. Cool. Peggy?
Through you, Chair DeBoer. So a lot of the comments on our memo are really high level at this point because we haven't had time to really digest everything that's come in. Staff will do a more detailed analysis and hopefully bring back a report to council. It might be after the fact, but unfortunately that's the timing we've gotten from the province. So we can certainly take back feedback from today's meeting, and then again, our memo is really, there's some impacts on there, but not the full impacts at this point, because it came so late, we had very little time to comment back to the province, so we're doing the best we can.
Okay. Councillor Kiernan.
Thank you. Through you, Chair DeBoer. Quick question for you, Ms. Tollett. So, and it is quick. You, what did you say, May 25th? That's a couple of days away. Having said that, can we respond to them with a response that we intend to respond, if you get my drift, so that we've at least put our foot in the water to say, short notice, we are digesting this, as you said, but we will be coming back with a fulsome answer.
Through Chair DeBoer, we can certainly do that, because some comments, again, are due May 20th, 25th, June 1st, so we can certainly tell them that. We want to try to put as much information as possible, similar to before we submitted our preliminary comments, and then after we can submit additional comments after the fact, too.
Okay.
One other quick question. So, worst case scenario, you know, worst case comes through. Can we not still then, through planning, set our own set of heritage bylaws, so to speak, to protect our own heritage infrastructure? We have the power to do that here, if need be, right? Not to go against the Act, but to modify within our own municipality and protect our own heritage.
Through Chair DeBoer, that's an interesting question. We'll have to look at that because I think we could do that. Staff will look at that for sure.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay, we'll move on and we'll look forward to the next report. I will now call upon Jack Gibson to approach the podium to provide a delegation concerning the renaming of a portion of Cross Country Boulevard as Roy Clarkson Way. Jack.
Mr. Chairman, members of council, my name is Jack Gibson. I live 11 Wallace Avenue in Palgrave. I read about this in the local paper some few weeks back where they wanted to change. At first, I thought it was the whole street, and then I had a second look, and I saw where... just a portion of this cross country boulevard was to be named for the person in question. And I said, no, this should never happen. You're giving a very small portion of the existing street with not a dwelling nor anything on the street. I drove a school bus there for quite a number of months. I never picked up or dropped off a child on that section of the road. The post office does not deliver any mail there because there's no numbers. Amway and all the rest of the people will not go there. FedEx, etc., and UPS will not go there. Perhaps the best part of not going there is the fire department, because there's no need of them going there, followed by the emergency vehicles that might go. So really, what is the point in giving an honor to someone who died in the line of duty? A meaningless street, avenue, whatever you wish to call it. It makes no sense to me whatsoever at all. There are options, perhaps. They're limited. You can just forget all about the person in question, Roy, or you can go when Bolton expands to the outer boundary limits and perhaps there would be another parkway or something larger than this little wee tiny piece of road that could get his name. There are different places. There's Sand Street or whatever they call it in Bolton and other things too, because when you give the street where there's lots of people living, Roy's name will be in front of the public at all times because there's lots of things happening on the street. On this little piece of property at Highway 50 and at the jog where you would turn on to the remaining of the street, there's two little wee signs there that says Roy Clarkson Way. I can't imagine many people looking at that other than somebody that might have to go on to cross country. The people that live in there, they know where to go. They don't have to look up and see this teeny-weeny little sign, 20 inches by 4 inches, I'm old, giving those dimensions. If you people, the first two things that I mentioned, leave as is or name something at a later date in another street, that doesn't even make sense to me either. Members of council, you have only one choice. This man died in the line of duty. You just almost have a new fire hall. What a glorious honor it would be to name that fire hall after Roy Clarkson. I hope you sincerely do. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jack. Any members of the committee have any questions? Jack? Okay. We'll now call the So the first staff report is staff report 2019-69, the renaming of a portion of Cross Country Boulevard as Roy Clarkson Way. Peggy, did you want to address any of the comments, please?
Sure. Through you, Chair DeBoer. So there's staff, if in the report, actually under next steps, one of the steps that staff have to take back is developing policy in regards to plaques, memorials, monuments to commemorate not only the past, the current, but the future individuals that are deserving of recognition. So that would be coming forward in Q3 for council for consideration. In the new Bolton Fire Station, there actually is going to be several like glass cases to recognize firefighters who have fallen. So they'll have Roy Clarkson's hat, his helmet, his equipment, and a plaque that honored him in that fashion. The street naming was just one aspect, and that was just brought forward from some of the fire staff to because it's near that location, and it wouldn't affect having a bunch of residents having to change their addresses, so that's why they had picked that stretch of road. But we'll do a couple different things to commemorate him and also a future.
Okay, and that was moved by Mayor Thompson and seconded by Councillor Innes. Any questions? So, Mayor Thompson.
How hard is it to name the fire hall after Roy Clarkson, as the suggestion from the speaker tonight?
To you, Chair DeBoer, Mayor Thompson, I would have to talk to Strategic Initiatives because we have a policy on naming facilities, and so I have to go back to them.
I'm just wondering if it's okay with Council, Mr. Chairman, if that we can refer that back to... we've got time. Can we just go back and see what the possibility is naming the fire hall after Roy Clarkson?
So through Chair DeBoer, when staff bring back the policy on this, we can bring forward recommendations on that at that point.
You okay?
Yeah, I think it's just we're naming the road tonight, but I'll tell you, Jack struck a chord with me that it is you want to remember him for what he is, not as something that's pointless. And I think got me thinking that I think we want to be respectful, especially for a firefighter that's fallen in the line of duty. So I want to give him his rightful due cause. So that's why I'm just saying, if we name the road, then we might have just, lost the ability to name the fire hall. So I think before we get too far down the road, I would like to see what the chances are of naming the fire hall after Roy Clarkson.
Okay. I do have another speaker. If you're going to refer it back, then Councillor Innes.
I was just going to follow up. Jack did bring up some good points, and while the fire hall is in our ward, the councillors of that ward adjacent where the street is actually aren't even present this evening. So I think that they should be part of the discussion, and I would support actually referring it back to staff so that we can have a discussion at a later date, take into consideration some of the things that Jack had mentioned this evening, and then make a more fulsome decision, especially once you've had a little bit more discussion.
Okay. And before I take that motion, I do want to make one point, is that Roy was a resident of Albion, so he was a resident of our ward. And I think that, yes, we might have policies around naming buildings, but rather than review the policies and then look at renaming it, is there an opportunity? Is there anything holding us back? If it's the policies that we have, we, as around this table, set the policies, and whether we decide, unless there's some other reason, I think we have the ability, I would suspect, to do exactly that, if that's what we do, can do. Peggy?
Through Chair DeBoer, it's up to Council.
So, okay, now I'll support its motion to refer it back to staff, moved by Mayor Thompson, seconded by Councillor Innes. And we want a timeline. I apologize, Jack, but we can't take more comments. I'll talk to you afterwards, so we'll be done here in about 5-10 minutes. Okay? So I've got a motion that staff report 2019-69 be referred back to staff to consider the delegate's comments and report back to council September. Okay. We want to do it right. So September. Okay. Yeah, moved by Mayor Thompson, seconded by Councillor Innes. All in favor? Carried. Thank you. Okay, the next item on the agenda is staff report 2019-66, proposed zoning bylaw amendment, Brookfield Residential, Ontario, Bolton Limited, 50 Ann Street. It was asked to be held by Councillor Innes. You have the floor.
I just have an amendment that staff brought to our attention, that RM 616 zone in the bylaw be amended to replace 9.5 meters with 9.3 meters for the entrance separation standard.
Okay, so I do need a mover and a seconder. By Councillor Innes, seconded by Mayor Thompson. And the main motion, now you're introducing amendment. As read, do we need to just put it up on the... You got a copy? Okay. Everybody understand the intent with the amendment? Anybody want to speak? Planning, you got comments? No? Okay. Mover for the amendment is Councillor Innes, Councillor Downey. All in favor? Carried. So the amended motion as read with this amendment, all in favor, moved by Councillor Innes and Mayor Thompson. All in favor? Carried. Okay, we've got a Heritage Caledon Committee report and staff report 7.1, Heritage Caledon report dated May 13th, 2019. Councillor Downey asked for it to be held. A mover is, you're okay with it? Okay, so approved on consent. So that was, okay. Any items of correspondence on the agenda? We have the one item, and are there any other further correspondence items that want to be held? Yes, Mayor Thompson.
Yep, I would like to hold a 922.
922?
Yeah.
The overview of the new places to grow?
Yeah.
Okay. And do you have questions of staff on that?
Yes.
Well, go ahead.
So I would like to ask, I see with the MCRs and different things, and I know we've done correspondence back and forth. Where are we? I see what you have here, but I'm just saying again, date and times, or we don't have anything on this either.
Again, through the chair, we're working with the region and the province to get some clarification on timing and piecing out the small 40-hectare options. There may be an opportunity to do multiple 40-hectare expansion, so we're getting clarification on that, and the one MCR process and the timelines, what we're understanding from the region, are consistently the same 2021 for the complete MCR, but we're getting clarification on how many 40 hectare increments right. You can do
the MCR, like for Mayfield West, do we have to go through that, or are we off the hook on that one?
We're not off the hook. Yes, and we're working with the province and the region trying to get clarification on that right now.
That they're trying to get rid of red tape.
Okay, Councillor Sinclair.
Revisions to the Planning Act and the restrictions of appeals. I wondered, does that change the function of public information meetings? So right now, you can't appeal at all unless you either put in a written response or participate in the public information meeting. If you are already statute barred from appealing, how does that affect the meaning of a public information meeting?
Again, through the chair, we're working with our legal services team to deal with all of the LPAT and Planning Act requirements to understand exactly what the implications are, especially with this transitional between the old board rules, the LPAT, future LPAT requirements, and then the current regime. Right now, it's quite a quandary trying to figure out what we need to do and what we don't. So we're going to be bringing back a more fulsome report on the Planning Act and LPAT requirements because it's pretty intensive material, and this was not for this memorandum at this point because this just was released. So we're in the midst of reviewing that now with legal services.
Well, if you can't make sense of it, what am I going to do?